Mitchell Daniels, director of the Office of Management and Budget, is a former Senate aide, Reagan White House official, think tank president, and pharmaceutical executive. These days, he's shepherding President Bush's nearly $2 trillion budget through Congress. The House endorsed the Bush blueprint for $1.6 trillion in tax cuts. The Senate scaled back the tax cuts to $1.2 trillion and raised government spending. Daniels says he's not worried.
The budget's progressing very well. It's two-thirds of the way through a three-step process, and it was, as you know, passed essentially as the president proposed it in the House, with some adjustments passed in the Senate. Now those two will be reconciled. We think the final product will look very like what the president recommended.
What do you have ahead of you? What sort of battle is there?
I hope it'll be a cordial conversation among people who agree on ends and may have some minor disagreements about means.
You sound like a man who's never been in Washington before, and we all know better.
I don't think we're naive about the prospects, but at the same time, the pace of events so far has been very favorable, and we have every reason to expect a positive outcome.
And the president said that he's determined to hold overall discretionary spending increases to 4%. Well, the Senate spending plan has an 8% increase. Now, how do you get Congress to go along with you?
Well, the House came in at 4, and as I say, their plan and the one the Senate voted on will have to be reconciled. I think there was an element of boys will be boys going on in the Senate last week. To some extent, they know they can be saved from their own excesses by a conference committee and by the president's own intervention in the process. So I think that by the time they were done running up the tab last Friday night, it'd probably gone a little further than any individual member would really countenance.
Might the president's intervention involve a veto down the line?
I hope and believe it won't come to that. We do plan to work very closely throughout the year with the appropriating committees and try to agree in advance about what a reasonable total for the budget is and a reasonable total for each individual bill. I think if we do that in an open and cooperative way, that it'll will not come to the point where the president has to draw the line.
On the tax cut, the president has said he has some flexibility there. How much flexibility does he have?
Well, this will have to be a matter for conversation with the members of both bodies. The House, of course, passed the tax cut at the level the president recommended. There was much sentiment in that body for going further, given the weakness in the economy right now. And the Senate came reasonably close. So I'm sure there'll be conversations where we try to see how their minds can meet and where the president can be comfortable too.
What do you think they'll do? Split the difference?
We hope they'll come very close to the president's viewpoint. There was nearly a majority in the Senate for his recommendation. We were only short a couple, three votes at most. And so that, coupled with a strong majority in the House, argues, I think, for his proposal or something very like it.
The president's tried to use the bully pulpit in Washington and around the country to pressure Democrats to support his budget plan. Why hasn't that worked so far?
Well, some Democrats have supported his plan. It's not unusual for budget resolutions to be passed along party lines. That's really been the pattern in both Republican and Democratic administrations in the past. I think as we move to the details, we will find a lot of ground for cooperation with people in both parties.
You worked in the Reagan White House and then left Washington for Indiana. What have you found that's changed in Washington in those intervening years?
I think the Washington I came back to was a wounded town in some respects after years of real difficulty. I think what has been said about the increase in partisanship was certainly true, and I was drawn to the idea of serving President Bush in part because of his strong commitment to trying to reconcile and to an extent restore civility and at least a degree of cooperation.
You came back at no small sacrifice, announced you were going to exceed government ethics guidelines and sell your entire stock portfolio. It's not the greatest time in the world to be selling.
No, I've always had a magic touch for the timing. I did the same thing with Washington real estate, as I recall, when I was here the first time around.
Took a big hit, did you?
I'm not complaining. Daniel's family's been very fortunate, and the opportunity to serve is one that transcends ups and downs of the stock market.
Mitchell Daniels is director of the Office of Management and Budget.